Welcome to the Luxfer Group second quarter conference call. We will first hear from Luxfer Chief Executive Brian Purvis, who will provide an overview, followed by Group Financial Director Andy Beeden, who will review the financial performance for the quarter and year to date. Brian will then return to sum up and offer an outlook. After that, Brian and Andy will be glad to take your questions. We request that you initially ask only one question. After you've heard the answer, we will give you the opportunity for a follow-up question. If you would like to ask additional questions, please press star one again to place you back in line. Thank you for your cooperation. We will now turn the call over to Brian Purvis.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Luxfer conference call on the second quarter of 2016. We've introduced a summary slide on page four. The headlines for the quarter are: the result was as expected, with continued progress with cylinders. We have successfully rescheduled our term debt. The Brexit vote is mainly affecting exchange rates, which is a positive for us in the medium term. Our overall guidance on EPS is maintained at 5-10% up on prior year, with some business, however, having been moved from Q3 into Q4. So looking at the quarter in more detail on slide 5, as previously forecast, once we adjust for exchange rates, Q2 was only slightly down on what was our best quarter last year, and we remain well up at the half year. Adjusted fully diluted EPS of 29 cents was 1 cent above quarter 2 last year. Cylinders continues to perform well ahead of prior year, but our product transition efforts in Electron, while progressing, have not yet restored sustainable growth. Please note, however, that Electron's 2Q results were in line with our expectations from the prior earnings call. Quarter 2 revenues remain compressed, but as we saw in quarter 1, the mix of sales is stronger, and through our product development activities, we continue to focus on developing more and more proprietary products. Down to slide 6. The North American SCBA sector remains strong, with, to the best of our knowledge, all market participants now having kits on sale that comply with the latest NIOSH regulations, although some only recently having achieved that status. Our right-sized alternative fuel business remains profitable, with overall trading profit for gas cylinders again roughly double last year's level. Sales of aluminum cylinders were up, due to improved demand in Europe from the medical and industrial sectors. Our Superform business, where the long lead times on new contracts always make capacity planning difficult, has won significant new business with high-end automotive customers, including Ferrari, but is suffering a temporary shortfall in sales due to a gap between old contracts finishing and new contracts commencing. We expect the sales to be back on track from quarter four onwards and rising into 2017. We saw a slight improvement in demand for high-performance magnesium alloys, mainly coming from European customers. In quarter one, the lower sales of automotive catalysts that we are experiencing were largely offset by shipments of industrial catalysts. There were fewer shipments of industrial catalysts in quarter two, so the weakness in automotive is more exposed. We do have further shipments of industrial catalysts scheduled for later this year. Our intellectual property infringement action, taken to address the lower automotive sales, continues in the UK courts. As around half of the revenue reduction year on year again came from reduced activity in the lower margin areas of magnesium recycling and commercial alloys, the stronger mix of sales again resulted in an improved operating margin over prior year. On slide 7, and updating on a few strategic growth projects, shortly after our last conference call, Biotronic obtained their CE approval for their magnesium scaffold product, which they have now branded Magmaris. Their stent, based on our Synermag bioresolvable alloy, is now in the process of being launched. This is an important landmark. We have been working on this project for approximately 7 years, and finally, we should see commercial sales starting in 2017. We are, of course, entirely dependent on the level of success that Biotronic have with the device. But this is a very large market, and from the evidence that we have seen, the magnesium-based device is superior to the alternative polymer-based bioabsorbable technology. On Luxfer Magtech, when we bought the business that we now call Luxfer Magtech 2 years ago, we said that one of our objectives would be to expand its geographic presence. Last year, we established new sales positions outside the USA, and in quarter two of this year, we purchased a small European competitor in the field of flameless heaters and ready-to-eat meals, largely for their customer list. We have now quoted for several million dollars worth of business to a number of new non-US customers and feel that we are very close to finalizing on two of those. Andy Beeden will now take you through some of the detail on the Q2 results.
Thank you, Brian, and welcome everyone to the call. Our first set of slides will cover the sales analysis for the quarter. Total revenue for Q2 2016 was $111 million compared to $122.8 million for Q2 2015 and $108.8 for Q1 2016. FX translation was a negative $2.7 million, with the underlying group revenue reduced by $9.1 million when compared to Q2 2015, though improved by $2.2 million on Q1 2016. Gas cylinders underlying revenue reduced by 1.3% and Electron by 14.1%. Slide 10 covers gas cylinders. Revenues in our main cylinder businesses were reasonably stable. Demand in composite cylinder markets such as the US self-contained breathing apparatus and AF remained strong, while it improved in our aluminum cylinder markets. Shipments from Superform remain temporarily subdued due to several current customer project timeline slippages, mainly in high-performance automotive, with the runoff of historic business and the new contract work scheduled for later in the year. Now on to slide 11. As expected, Electron's underlying revenue was down 14% in the quarter and remains impacted by the continued weakness in lower margin automotive recycling, along with the reduced sales for zirconium autocatalysis. There was some modest improvement in European aerospace demand, with US demand still compressed. There was also some further issues in the US defense market for military powders, with a customer outage, which is expected to be resolved by Q4. And this constrained shipments for us into the magnesium decoy flare market. Our photo engraving sales remained solid due to ongoing success with the investment in broadening our international distribution resources for this proprietary product. Luxfer Magtech's seen demand in its domestic US market also compressed, with US defense order intake at the lower end of contracted minimal levels. Though its focus is now on widening its customer base with non-US opportunities, as Brian highlighted. Slide 12 shows the trend in sales for Q2 2016 by geographic region. The largest fall is in the UK, with the key suppressed markets being magnesium recycling, traditional aluminum cylinder sales, and autocatalysis. The rest of the European market was more stable, though again lower sales in autocatalysis and magnesium recycling, but improvement in the high-performance aerospace alloys. The US was stronger in AF and self-contained breathing apparatus, but weaker in defense. Turning to trading profits and adjusted EBITDA results on slide 13. Overall, at group level, positive mix changes combined with cost savings lifted margins, with return on sales of 9.9% ahead of 9.5% for Q2 2015. The adjusted EBITDA margin was similarly up at 14.7% for the group. Adjusted EBITDA was $16.3 million against 16.7 for Q2 2015. 0.3 of the 0.44 was related to FX translation differences. For Q2 2016, group trading profit was $11 million compared to $11.7 million for Q2 2015. Gas Cylinders division increased its trading profit to $3.3 million from $1.7 for Q2 2015. FX differences were a negative $0.3 million. The division achieved a very significant underlying improvement through higher composite cylinder sales, mainly in North America, and the realization of cost-saving actions taken last year in the AF business. There was a small drag on profits from the phasing of old and new Superform contracts, as I mentioned before. Electron's result at $7.7 million was weaker than last year's Q2 of $10 million. FX changes were a positive $0.5 million. The sales changes impacted the short-term profit position. Costs are being tightly controlled, and new business is at favorable margins. Short-term profits are impacted by the constrained U.S. defense spending and autocatalysis sales position. However, resources are focused and invested on restoring a stronger mix of proprietary zirconium catalyst sales and broadening end markets for our magnesium products. Slide 14 covers net income and EPS. Below trading profit, we had very little restructuring and similar items in Q2 2016, unlike the large charges in 2015 for AF restructuring. This meant the operating profit was up at $10.9 million against $8.8 for Q2 2015. Net interest costs were lower, also benefiting from some FX gains on loan investments with JVs in US dollars. Statutory IFRS net income for Q2 2016 was a net profit of $6.7 million, compared to $3.1 million for Q2 2015, again well up as a result of the near absence of large restructuring costs. Adjusted for exceptional items and excluding the IAS 19 pension finance cost, Q2 2016 was an underlying net profit of $7.9 million, compared to $7.6 for Q2 2015. Here, we benefited from the lower tax and finance costs. The effective tax rate on adjusted net income was reduced to 24.8% against the 26.9% for Q2 2015. Adjusted diluted EPS was therefore 29 cents for Q2 2016 compared to 28 cents for Q2 2015. The next slide, 15, is on liquidity and capital resources. Detailed slides on the balance sheet and cash flow can be found in the appendices. Key points are as follows. Net debt, debt minus cash, was $101.9 million. This has increased since the start of the year's position of 94.7, but includes the funding of the share buyback of $6 million. The net debt to EBITDA ratio remained reasonable at 1.6 times. Return on invested capital was 13% after tax, this being slightly improved on the 12% achieved last year. Our operating cash flows in Q2 2016 were a positive $9.6 million, and therefore 12.6 year to date. This was lower than in 2015 because of the working capital movements, which was an outflow of $1.9 million in this Q2 and 12.1 year to date. June 2016 working capital was $96.4 million. Compared to December 15 of 88.6. Most of the year-to-date increase is in receivables relating to larger customers where there has been a mix change. Also, working capital is now $14.7 million lower than it was at the same point in Q2 2015. Invested capital in our operations was $248.8 million, reduced from the $273 million for Q2 2015 and the $264.4 million at the end of 2015. Year to date for 2016, we have returned $12.7 million to shareholders in cash, with the upsized dividend and the share buyback, and $25.4 million over the last 18 months. Finally, moving to slide 16, in Q2 2016, we agreed an extension to maturities of $50 million of the $65 million of loan notes due 2018. The new maturities being $25 million extended to 2023 and $25 million being extended to 2026, 10 years, at reduced fixed interest rates of 4.88 and 4.94%. Though the debt is guaranteed by the UK and US operations, it is not subject to any formal asset securitisation. This agreement enhances the group's capital structure via extended maturities, reduced costs, and also removes any major debt maturities to be refinanced for the next 3 years. The deal was with Precoa, Prudential Insurance Company of America, and its blue chip investment clients. I see this as a major vote of confidence by Precoa's investors in the future opportunities we can all see in the medium and long term for Luxfer. Thank you, and I'll now hand you back to Brian to sum up.
Thank you, Andy. Looking at slide 18 then, summarising quarter two, the profitability of our cylinder business remains markedly improved, underpinned by growth in the North American SCBA market, our right-sizing programme, and new business won in the alternative fuel sector. In quarter two, we also saw some improvement in European alternative fuel, with a higher level of bus system sales than we have seen for some time. Electron division continues to have a few key sectors still running below par, but there was an improvement in sales of high-performance alloys. Sales of our AutoCat products remain compressed, and while the outlook for industrial catalysis remains strong, there were fewer shipments scheduled in quarter two. Work continues on the next generation of AutoCat products, and we remain optimistic that our development activity will result in a step change improvement in our product offering to this sector. Although sales revenue was down, the sales mix is stronger and costs have been reduced, so our operating margin remains higher than prior year. With the defence market in the US remaining compressed, we are working hard to expand the geographic presence of our US defence-based businesses, marketing both to military and civilian customers, and we feel that we are making good progress. Our adjusted Q2 EPS is 1 cent above prior year and in line with consensus. Turning to the outlook in slide 19, we are reaffirming our EPS outlook for a 5% to 10% improvement over 2015. The UK referendum vote to leave the EU was a surprise. Although the polls had suggested that it would be close, most observers expected a swing towards the status quo in the last few days. This did not happen, and in the aftermath of the result, we did see some short-term volatility from our UK and EU customers. Mostly, this appears to be past. Markets have recovered strongly, and what we are left with is weaker sterling. As we report in US dollars, this does hurt our reported figures by reducing the translated dollar value of non-US earnings. But in the medium term, a weaker sterling against the euro is potentially very beneficial to the profitability of our exports into mainland Europe. We expect a net disbenefit in the balance of 2016 because of our near-term Forex hedges. But we would see a significant net benefit in 2017 and beyond if exchange rates stay roughly where they are today. Andy and his team have reduced our interest bills with the rescheduling of our term debt, and we continue to make gains on marginal tax rates. EPS is also being helped by the buy-in of shares earlier this year. Looking at the balance of the year by quarter, we expect quarter four to be stronger than quarter three, as some electron contract business that had previously been scheduled for quarter three has been moved at customer request into the fourth quarter. Although not likely to make much impact on the 2016 financials, we are delighted about the major milestone of the new Synermag-based bioabsorbable stent achieving commercial launch. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
The floor is now open for your questions. If you would like to ask a question at this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, we request that you initially ask only one question, After you've heard the answer, we will give you the opportunity for a follow-up question. If you would like to ask additional questions, please press star 1 again to place you back in line. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Your first question comes from Julian Mitchell of Credit Suisse.
Hi, this is Lee Sandquist on for Julian Mitchell.
Hi.
With another quarter of significant weakness in AutoCAD sales, when should we think about a trough in this segment? It seems like the industrial catalysis offset may be pretty volatile in nature.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the industrial catalysis is volatile in the sense that we are working with the benefit of a larger customer base and a larger contract base now, but the requirements for the material are certainly more lumpy, if you like, than the AutoCAD, which is much more dispersed over a wide range of products and a wider range of high volume customers. So I think the industrial catalysis is still a little bit chunky and will become less so as we grow it. But nonetheless, we have a high degree of certainty, or a higher degree of certainty, at the level of business. We just can't be precise about which quarter by quarter it comes in. On the AutoCAD side, the real pain that we've suffered there hit us through the course of last year. And so in the fourth quarter, well, certainly the fourth quarter, probably the third quarter last year, sales of automotive catalysis were already quite badly hit. So I'm not conscious that we have dropped much since then. We just haven't picked anything up yet. And there are two efforts, as you know, where we're looking to achieve that. The first one is the court action, because we do believe that a lot of the volume that we have lost is because of people selling infringing product against us. And we have been able to track exports out of China to be able to give ourselves confidence on that front. Unfortunately, as you'll be aware, the court processes are very long-winded, and we can't really expect a positive outcome from that until certainly well into 2017. But at least we have made public our concerns, and the customer base is aware of that and has to make their purchasing decisions in the light of our stated belief. The second effort, which I did allude to, is that we have been putting a lot of effort into developing a new generation of automotive products. And if we are right, and we're still waiting on feedback from our customers on their engine testing of the new material, if we're right, then the new material will be a marked improvement over the previous generation of material. And that's the surest way for us to win back market share. Again, though, nothing happens overnight in this market, and it would really be the second half of 2017 before we would realistically start to sell that new product in any large commercial volumes.
Great, thank you. And then in Q1, you alluded to a recovery in the medium term for defense and commercial helicopters. Could you just please update us on your thoughts on that end market?
On defense?
No, it's more helicopters, I think.
Well, helicopters, yes. Well, I think on that one, we did say at the last call that we felt that it had bottomed out. And we were roughly, I think, about 14 or 15% down on the high-performance alloys, most of which we ascribe to the weakened helicopter industry, with reduced demand from both defense and the oil and gas sector. We haven't really seen any change on that in North America, but the slight pickup that we were reporting for quarter two for those alloys has come out of the European sector. So that might be the first sign of some start of a recovery. But the oil and gas sector remains depressed, and defense spending remains depressed. So I don't think we can count on a near-term bounce back from those existing markets. And in the meantime, we're doing as much as we can to identify alternative customers, alternative sectors for the same products. But I do think that we're getting more confident that that sector has bottomed out and is starting to pick up again.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Phil Gibbs of KeyBanc Capital Markets.
Thank you for taking my question. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, Phil.
In terms of the deferrals into the Q4 and some of the orders in Electron, how should we think about the magnitude there in terms of profitability moving from one quarter to the next, or anything that you could help us frame up there?
Well, they are quite chunky bits of business, so they will have a material impact. Obviously, we'll be doing whatever we can to compensate, but certainly in terms of the amounts that have moved, you're looking at maybe certainly 3 cents worth of earnings. You know, shifting out of Q3 and into Q4, and you know, those are firm reschedules. So it's not as though we're making our own guess at the times. Those are times, new times that the customers have given us. So as long as they stick with that, then we should see that much having shipped out of quarter 3, but into quarter 4. You know, and obviously in quarter 4 we get a bit more nervous about it because there's less leeway for slippage, but those are firm reschedules. I would say it's probably about 3 cents down Q3 and 3 cents up in Q4.
Thanks, Brian. That's helpful. And in terms of the UK translation back into US earnings, you cited that as a $1 to $2 million headwind for the second half. How much of that is in Electron versus cylinders?
More of it would be in Electron than cylinders at the moment. So the Electron is simply Electron is more profitable, Phil. And so you would apportion that on the profit ratio of the two divisions.
The euro benefit going forward, however, is
more
equitably split between cylinders and Electron.
Yeah, the benefits of the UK production. Cylinders does have a big production base in the UK, so the euro upside for 2017 is probably more even. But the translation impact, what you would apportion on the profit apportionment that you see at a group level for those divisions.
Okay, and then that's kind of a good lead into just the currency discussion in general. So if you've got a, call it $1.5 million headwind for the second half, you talked about some hedges rolling off into next year, which may give you up to a $4 million benefit. You obviously are also in a more competitive cost position in general with the weaker sterling. So how do you think about, all else equal, you know, how do you think about the currency headwinds to the trading profit this year with competitiveness baked in as well? And then how you're thinking about it for next year, just so we can, you know, think about how the business could be positioned.
Well, the transactional impact of currency is something that we've been living with for some time. So the hedges that we have in place at the moment are on the euro, which is what is locking us out of the short-term gain from the weakness of sterling. That's at levels where we've done business and we know the level of profitability that's baked in. So it's an opportunity there to get better profitability from those exports on the amount that's not hedged, and that amount will increase as we go forward because we don't really take long-term hedges on foreign currency. So the short-term impact is purely the translation of non-US earnings back into US dollars, and that's not really affecting our competitiveness at all. Going forward, if we can access euro exchange rates at today's levels, then the profitability of exports into Europe is certainly much healthier than it has been recently. The euro sterling exchange rate has, however, been at this level within the last 3 years. It's just in the last 18 to 24 months that we've seen the sterling euro rate get quite painful for us. So we've been suffering compressed margins for that period, but nonetheless been willing to do business at that level. But if the exchange rate falls to where it is today, initially the profitability of those exports will be considerably benefited. Obviously, that does open up the possibility of attempting to win more business. That's something that we would only do once we were pretty confident that the exchange rate had stabilized at that level. That's not something we've seen for several years. So it's more of an impact on profitability than on volume opportunity, although there certainly would be some volume opportunity in the medium term if we got confident that the exchange rate had in fact stabilized at this level.
And of course, we can now hedge at the new rates. So what we are doing is looking to try and lock in at the new rate for 2017, potentially 2018, currency flows. But we do hedge 12 to 18 months out. So certainly the balance of this year is ruled out as an advantage, but certainly 2017 and even 2018, we can see that advantage coming through.
All right, that's great. I got one more question, and then I'll get back in the queue. In terms of the raw material side, are the raw materials in the second half of this year more of a headwind, more of a tailwind, more or the same versus the first half? And then how are you thinking about raw materials in 2017 relative to 2016? Thanks.
I think at the moment, Phil, it's pretty stable on raw materials. If you look at where aluminum has been, and then you find that the other metals that we work with often track that or are similar, that's all touch wood, very, very stable. Year on year, probably now fairly stable. We saw some benefit last year, which helped us. But, as we look forward, it isn't seen as a major headwind or any real movement at the moment.
The only issue is where we're buying in dollars, then the
FX,
the FX impact makes us slightly more expensive in sterling. But we don't really mention that much because we're pretty well balanced on the dollar between sales and purchases. So the two wash through together. It's only the euro where we have a large net sales exposure, where we buy very little in euros. The dollars are fairly well covered. But the dollar prices of our raw materials, as Andy says, look pretty stable at the moment. And we can't at the moment see much in the way of any macroeconomic factors that would change that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from Jonathan Sachs of Stonehill Capital.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Just a few mostly cleanup type questions. On the Electron division revenues, when you cite the drop in revenues versus prior year, and the magnesium recycling, which is a low margin business, was a significant part of that. Can you give us a sense of the magnitude of how much of the sales drop is from that magnesium recycling?
Well, Jonathan, about half the sales fall was in either the recycling or related lower margin magnesium alloy sales, which are automotive alloys. So about half the fall was in lower margin, and half the fall was in the more normal Electron margin.
The actual recycling drop was about $8 million at the half year on year.
Yeah,
Jonathan. So the business has dropped. The recycling business, would have been a $30 million business. It's now about half that, and that's all falling through into our overall sales revenue. But as we've said before, the recycling business operates on very low cost, low margins. So its impact on profitability is not very high, but it does affect the ratios.
Yeah, and if you strip exchange out, which we do in the release, Electron's sales fell in Q2 by 8.3 million. And obviously, you can work out from what Brian's saying, about half that is the recycling.
It's a structural issue, really. The recycling in Europe does have too much capacity. But the main issue at the moment is the price differential between U.S. magnesium and Chinese magnesium because of the import barriers in the U.S. against the importation of Chinese magnesium. There's a very, very wide delta today between the cost of U.S.-produced magnesium and Chinese-produced. And that import barrier does not apply to magnesium scrap. So people are exporting scrap out of Europe and into the States in order to get around the import duty. And there's no demand or less demand on the recycling industry in Europe.
Great. That's very helpful. Thank you. And then can you just touch on expectations for CapEx and pension payments in the coming year, as well as sort of current view of normalized rates for both?
Well, we're certainly cutting back a little bit on the capital expenditure in the current year from our earlier indications. And that's quite normal. We tend to underspend in the first half of the year and then review the situation. So I think our full year number for this year is now rather below $20 million. We haven't put a budget for 2017 together yet. That's something that the board will be looking at in the next couple of months. But I'd be surprised if it was much different from the 20-ish million type level. And on pensions, those payments are fairly stable, being the deficit remediation payment. So we assume on our forward planning roughly $10 million.
Yeah, for those exchange, of course, it's slightly lower now, Brian, with the so it's probably I think it's gonna be between $8 and $9 million, unless we put any additional one-off amounts in for special projects.
Yeah, because the biggest element of it is a sterling payment into the UK element. So $8 or $9 million, and that's fairly stable. We have an agreed position with the UK trustees, which is for a 3-year period, of which we've only had 1 year. So that should be stable for the next couple of years.
Great, thank you. And I know that there had been some changes to the pension plan, which is why I asked for an update. And then just the last question, you've talked about Brexit a fair amount, and that most of the impact is on FX, which you've elaborated, which is very helpful. But is there a risk that there are export restrictions put in place, or import duties, or other barriers to trade in terms of product that you produce in the UK and sell into Europe?
Well, there certainly is in theory a risk. Most people are discounting it because the UK imports a lot more from mainland Europe than it exports to mainland Europe. So if there was an imposition of trade barriers, it was the mainland Europeans that would suffer the most. And so, for example, the German car makers, I think, would be lobbying heavily against there being levies on manufactured goods. However, that's not going to become clear for at least 2 years, and probably more likely longer than that. We have looked at it just to know what the exposure is. I mean, at the moment, if we take the cylinder business that's in the UK, we import aluminum log from North America, and we pay import duty on importing it into mainland Europe of, I think it's 6%. And we export obviously duty-free into mainland Europe today. The standard tariff on non-EU companies is between 4% and 8%, and that's the sort of range. So you could end up with us not paying any import duty on the log, but paying something to export into Europe of that sort of magnitude. However, you then look at our major competitor in mainland Europe for aluminum cylinders is actually a Turkish company, and Turkey has a free trade arrangement with the EU, so they import free of charge. So it would seem inequitable if we ended up paying. So at the moment, our betting is that there won't be any such changes, but it won't become clear for another 2 or 3 years, I'm afraid.
Great.
Even
Thank
if
you very much,
there, even
Mario.
Even if there are changes, you know, we will cope with it. They're not of an order of magnitude that would cause us to become uneconomic because of it.
They're not as significant as the FX changes, and they are certainly not as significant as some of the headwinds we've faced in the past in material cost changes. So, you're talking of net duty input-output changes of a few percent.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Phil Gibbs of KeyBanc Capital Markets.
Thanks for taking my follow-up. I think for the time being, gents, I'm all set. I think he hit on most of my follow-ups. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay. Are there any more people on the list?
This concludes the question and answer session of today's call.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We will speak to you again with the quarter three result in early October, no, or November. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you. An encore recording of this conference call will be available in about 2 hours. Telephone numbers to access the recording will be available on the Luxfer Group website at www.luxfer.com. Thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may now disconnect.